Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're studying right now about Joshua and how he came into the land of Israel. And this is all part of a Sunday school lesson that is about how God had used the nation of Israel to bring salvation into all the world, but how Israel often failed God in the things that he expected of them. In our last study, we were talking about how Joshua was to lead the people into conquering the land he had promised to Abraham. You remember that? From Genesis chapter 15, 18 through 21? It says, "In that day Jehovah made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates." And then he mentioned the number of peoples that they would conquer, the lands that they would take from these peoples that had already rejected God. And then we read in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 4 that Joshua was indeed to lead them into that land, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your border. And in just a moment, we're going to read that they did take all this land, and God gave it all to them, though not all at once, as he could have done if they had obeyed him from the beginning. I would like you to turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 4, and we'll begin in reading in verse 21 in just a moment. Now, while you're turning to 1 Kings chapter 4, I'll remind you that this Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're in the midst of a Sunday school lesson that was written many years before by E.A. Elam for the Sunday of October the 21st, 1923. Now let's look at Elam's notes. Elam tells us this: the Israelites did not conquer this land at once, and they really came into possession of it only in so far as they conquered its inhabitants, and they did not rule in peace over the whole of it until the days of Solomon. We read in 1 Kings chapter 4, 21 through 25, "And Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, and unto the border of Egypt. They brought tribute, and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, and 60 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides harts and gazelles and roebucks and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tipsa even unto Gaza, over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on all sides round about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, even from Dan, even unto Beersheba, all the days of Solomon." We also read in the book of Chronicles, in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 25 and 26, "And Solomon had 4,000 stalls of horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen that he bestowed in the chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. And he ruled over all the kings from the river even unto the land of the Philistines, and unto the border of Egypt." God cast these nations out of this land little by little. The Hittites, over which they ruled, were the descendants of Heth. In Genesis 10, 15 through 18, it gives the descendants of Canaan, the father of the Canaanites, from whom the land of Canaan received its name, while verse 9 gives the border of the Canaanite. The Hittites dwelt about Hebron in the time of Abraham, according to Genesis chapter 23, and they were not all subdued at once. Uriah in David's day was a Hittite, according to 2 Samuel 11 and verse 3. Solomon used their service as he did the service of other Canaanite nations, whom the children of Israel were not able to utterly destroy. 1 Kings chapter 9, 20 and 21. There were kings of the Hittites in the south, 1 Kings 10 and verse 29, and they still existed after the return of the Jews from captivity, according to Ezra 9 and verse 1. Yes, God cast out these nations, but little by little, lest the wild beasts should increase upon the land. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 22 and 24, and Jehovah thy God will cast out those nations before thee by little and little, that thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. But Jehovah thy God will deliver them up before thee, and will discomfort them with a great discomforter until they be destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into thy hand, and thou shalt make their name to perish from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee till thou hast destroyed them. Jehovah then promised to be with and to guide and bless Joshua as he had been with Moses. As I was with Moses, God says in Joshua 1 and verse 11, so will I be with thee. Now we're going to turn in our Bible many chapters forward until we come to the book of Isaiah. And I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Now remember, this is in the context of how God is going to use Israel to bless all the nations of the earth. And Isaiah the prophet says this in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up into the mountain of Jehovah, into the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations, and decide concerning many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more in that day. Verses 2 through 4 of Isaiah chapter 2 are almost the same as the verses of Micah chapter 4 verses 1 through 3, which is part of the following lesson. Isaiah 2, 2 through 4 was also part of a lesson we'd studied earlier. That you, by the time we finish this and the next lesson, we should clearly see that warfare from the kingdom of God in trying to fight against the other nations of the world is contrary to the peace and spirit and teachings of Christ. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It is not like the earthly kingdoms that war and fight with one another. Isaiah 2 and verse 2 talks about the latter days in the reign of Christ. The latter days are used by Peter in quoting the prophecy of Joel concerning the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, which began on the Pentecost after Jesus ascended. It refers to the reign of Christ. The Temple of Solomon was built on Mount Moriah, and that was literally the mountain of Jehovah's house. But figuratively, and here, it represents God's spiritual temple, building, or house. In Christ's day, and under him, this mountain of God's house is established at the top of the mountains, or at the head, as it says in the margin, and exalted above the hills. That is, it is above all kingdoms and powers, as Daniel 2:44 adds, it shall stand forever. You see, the idea of a mountain in this prophetic language has to do with the kingdoms. And it's talking about the Lord's mountain being greater than all of the mountains round about in the hills as a superior kingdom that He would establish that was greater than all the kingdoms of this world. And in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3, where it says, many people shall go and say, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we'll walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The last prediction of the preceding verse was that nations shall flow into it. This verse continues this prediction, saying that many people shall go and come into it so they could learn the Lord's paths. This is a prediction of the salvation of the Gentiles. All people and many nations in Isaiah's language are the Gentiles. They are the nations of the earth. This shows the willingness of the nations to learn and that they invite one another to hear the gospel, that God will reveal His will to all nations and Himself as the teacher. God was using Israel to bring this very thing to pass. God teaches all nations through Jesus, the great teacher. Jesus and His apostles to teach or to make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28 and verse 19. To preach the gospel to the whole creation, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And to preach repentance and remission of sins in His name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem, Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. As the prophet had said, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Years before Isaiah and Micah prophesied that the law of Moses had gone forth out of Sinai, but both declare in the future, at their time, in the latter days, the law should go forth from Zion and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. Zion and Jerusalem are synonyms here for that same locality. Christians have not come to Mount Sinai as the Jews of old, but unto Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let me read that to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. For you are not coming to a mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, and the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard entreated that no word more should be spoken unto them. For they could not endure that which was enjoined. Even if a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned. And so fearful was the appearance that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable host of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh of better things than that of Abel. Now, when did the law go forth from Zion, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem? The prophet said, in the latter days. When did they begin? When Christ's reign began. Hence on Pentecost, after Christ's reign began, Peter declared that which had been predicted should come to pass in the last days, and it was being fulfilled. And so Jesus told His apostles to begin to teach all nations and to preach the gospel to the whole creation, beginning from Jerusalem, from Zion, the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 12, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:2, the law of faith, Romans 8 3 and verse 27, and the perfect law of liberty.